Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
All right, something a little lighter here. A guy I've known for a long time in the real estate game, one of the Valley moguls, they call him. Jason Sulaco's here. Nice to see you, bub.
Hey.
Look at you. There you go.
Now, is this the right microphone?
That's right.
I don't want to block your breaking news.
That's right. All right, coming down the pipe in 3, 2, 1. Yes, that's the right
mic. Hey.
All right, so let's talk real estate. I know that, you know, that obviously the economy is, tanking, going into recession, and that affects real estate. I think also the interest rates affect real estate. But I also heard that real estate, even though the interest rates are going up, that the values aren't going down as quickly as some other cities.
Well, right here in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, the market definitely suffered a shift. I would say it was probably around late May,
right,
where you could really feel it, where all of a sudden multiple offers, dozens of showings the first couple weeks of a list, of first couple days of a listing, and then it just slowed down a lot. And then instead of maybe having 10 offers, you would have two. And that started in May, and then June seemed like a really bad month. And I think with inflation numbers, a variety of economic factors, people just froze. And in my experience in the markets, when there's any type of activity where people are in fear, they just freeze up.
Right.
So someone's considering selling, unless they really need to sell, they're going to probably wait. Buyers are going to say, let's just wait this out a little bit. Let's see what's going to happen. So everybody waits, right? And then it's just a matter of how much, if any, correction in the market are you going to see long term, or is this just a little blip, and things are going to get hot again? But what we saw for the last 2 years in the pandemic, I mean, we've never seen that. I've never seen it in the 15 plus years I've been a real estate broker agent. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was people just wanted to get into single family homes to avoid the elevators and the contacts with people you have in apartment buildings or condo complexes.
Yeah, I think people, it gave them just imperative if they had been on the sidelines going, got to make that move now. I don't know what it was. People were just captive and spent all their time on Redfin and Zillow looking at places. But if you had a listing, up until a couple months ago, you were pretty much golden if it was anywhere near market price.
Is that right? Is that still the case?
No, I'm not seeing that. Other agents I talked to about this aren't seeing that right now. If you got to come in a little bit below market right now.
Oh, wow.
And you're going to get some activity.
Right.
You know, you're going to get, and you could get over asking offers. But the days of, hey, my neighbor just sold his place for that much. I've got the same type of property. I'm going to list it for what he sold it at. Forget it.
That's
it's
not
going
happening.
To sit. And you're seeing things sit longer and longer. So what agents do, I don't know if any of your listeners are seeing this, if they watch like Zillow and Redfin and they look at properties, a lot more price reductions, and they're doing them more frequently in order to keep them showing up like as newer listings.
Oh, I see.
So anytime an agent reduces a listing, even if it's $5,000, it's going to show up it's going to show up higher in the search.
All right. Real estate mogul expert Jason Salako is with us. We are talking during the break here. And I found this astonishing because I assumed everybody was leaving L.A. to go to Boise and Seattle and Portland. But those markets are all feeling the downturn much more than we are here.
Yeah. You know, Phoenix, Boise, I believe Denver, those markets. And even in Sacramento got really hot this time in the last couple of years. That's probably one of the market's getting hit the hardest right now in terms
really?
Of slowdown. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I think what happened is there was just a massive influx there, and there's only so much housing stock, and there's kind of maybe you've reached a point where now it's going, you know, there's less people coming there.
Oh, I see.
It doesn't
okay.
mean it's not a bad place or that values are cratering, but it's certainly it's not as hot as it once was.
But it's not going to be like a Stockton that goes bankrupt and the whole city goes in the toilet.
Well, I mean, who knows what their financials are in Boise, Idaho, but I think they've got it together there from what I hear.
Yeah, the two problems that Portland has, and because I go up there, because my wife's from up there, we go up in the summer and the winter. One of them is that every building in downtown Portland has graffiti on it, whether it's an old, a gas station that's not a gas, you know, that's, you know, been invaded by homeless people, or it's $1 million, you know, 20-story, multi-million-dollar condos that are in that tower, everything has graffiti on it. Everything. There's crime and homeless and drug addicts everywhere in Portland. And the second problem is traffic up there. My daughter loves going to this place called OMSI in Portland. And we left there. It was last summer. We were leaving there. And she said, Dad, she goes, how about Dairy Queen? And I said, I'm always up for Dairy Queen. So we put Dairy Queen into Waze. It's 2.4 miles from where we were, and Waze said we'd get there in 45 minutes. It's easier to walk there because sometimes you sit there through 8, 9, 10 cycles of a light because the guy in front of you doesn't move. They've not built out the infrastructure to hold that many people that have gone up there.
And do you remember when there was the big exodus up there in the early, mid-90s when everything was falling apart here?
Oh, yeah.
Northridge, yeah. Riots, OJ, all that stuff, Portland,
yeah.
Seattle, Pacific Northwest was it was really kind of under the radar in terms of being, you know, compared to what they are now.
Oh, yeah.
And now those folks are moving out and saying, okay, now it's become just like any other huge city.
That's right.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, all the problems that they left here have followed them up there. Because a lot of people have left here, and then they kept voting the same way they did when they were here. And it turned those places into S-holes.
Well, I took my family to Boise three years ago, and we experienced the animus towards Californians.
Oh, is that right?
License plate. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Honked at. We had a finger or two, and then some ladies were coming out of a convenience store and had no problem saying that, I can't repeat it, Californians, pointing to our car with the California plate.
Yeah, you
we
know,
drove there.
There's a lot of people who rent cars up there that have California plates on them, and they'll put a sticker on the car that says rent a car, you know, just to avoid that.
Now you've got to. Yeah, it's crazy. And I can't imagine what it's like now because that was pre-pandemic. So,
yeah. But people have a really distorted view of the politics up there. Like, for instance, anywhere in downtown Seattle or downtown Portland within a mile or two is all super liberal and super left wing. You know, do what you can do. Abortions, ahoy, the whole run. And then you get anywhere outside of those cities, you know, I'm talking 10 minutes outside of Seattle or Portland in any direction, and it's all Donald Trump MAGA country. Gun-owning, you know, God-fearing, firework lighting, the whole run. People up there, they love their property outside of the city. And I think the values will probably continue up there. All right, can you stay with us for one more segment?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, we'll talk about rents when we come back to the hot markets, the hot zips. As you'd like to say, and also some trends and about home loans as well. Where are we going with home loans? What are those rates? Are they 25, 30% now? All right, Jason Slog is with us, real estate expert. We're live on KFI Conway Show, sitting in for John and Ken. They'll be back on Monday from 2 to 6 p.m. And Neil Saavedra is filling in tonight from 6 to 10 p.m. for us. And don't forget that big tribute to Vin Scully starts in about an hour and 15 minutes at Dodger Stadium. You can hear that live on 570 AM. It's Conway Show, in for John and Ken on KFI. Jason Slog is with us here, a big Dodger fan and a big guy in the real estate business. But you grew up listening to Vin Scully, you know, like we all did.
I did, and I heard the news on your show. I mean, that was the first place I heard it.
Man,
I was shocked.
Horrible, huh?
But I'm glad I got to hear it on your show, because I know your affection for Vin.
Oh.
It was way back, and we would talk all the time about it, these great stories that you had, and you know, growing up and listening to him and Drysdale and just all that. It's end of an era. And,
yeah, it was really terrible. I remember the one crazy story I had with my dad had the same barber that Vin Scully had. And my dad noticed that every, you know, other Tuesday when he went in to get his haircut, or every month, whatever, that Vin Scully was going to be there. And so my dad called Bob Cox, his barber, and said, is Vin Scully going to be there on Tuesday? And Bob said, oh, yeah, sure, he'll be there. And so he said to me, I was like 9. He said, hey, let's go buy a baseball. I'm going to take you in. I'm going to get my hair cut. Vin Scully's going to be there. I couldn't believe it. I sat in the car with my dad. He drove his Jaguar SJ6. And I had that ball in the box that it comes in. And I had a pen all ready for Vinny to sign it. Had my baseball jersey on. Biggest Dodger fan in the world. And we get there. And my dad sticks his head in. I don't hear it, but I hear them having a conversation. Hey, my kid wants your autograph. Can you sign something? Sure, no problem, no problem. I'll sign it, no problem. So we go in, and my dad says, this is my son. He'd like your autograph. He goes, oh, sure. And he signed the ball, Chief Daryl Gates. My dad thought forever that Vin Scully was in there every other Tuesday with him, and it's been Chief Daryl Gates. And my dad probably had 30 conversations with him. So somewhere I have a baseball that's signed by Chief Daryl Gates that my dad thought was Vin Scully. That's my luck, though, you know, in meeting Vin Scully as a kid, right? My dad not knowing anybody in Hollywood and me not knowing anybody, right? And it's the same way. I can't tell you what Anne Heche has ever done, but now that you reminded me, she had a book that came out right around 9/11. It was supposed to sell like gangbusters.
Right. And
it was all about Ellen.
And it was about, you know, rehabbing a reputation. It was post Ellen. I think she had some new series. She had just remarried a guy,
right,
or married a guy. And then 9/11 hit. And I think that book sold like a couple thousand copies.
Yeah. It, just took it disappeared.
It off the map. Yeah. It did.
All right. Let's talk about rent. I know you're in the real estate market and you've been in for like 15, 20 years or so. Is rent, is it stabilized in LA, or is it still tough to find a place?
Well, you know, rents are going up, and they're not just going up here. They're going up everywhere.
How can they possibly go up anymore, though? I mean, you know, for a two-bedroom place in L.A., isn't it like $2,800 a month?
Well, the numbers are a bit skewed.
Oh, okay.
We've seen a lot of newer places coming on, high-end luxury condos and apartments for rent. And so those skew the numbers. It says two-bedroom, and that, you know, they're asking $5,000 for some downtown, you know, new development. So those numbers are a bit distorted.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, like Tulare across the street is probably $5,000 for a three-bedroom, $6,000.
Exactly. But overall, yes, rents are up from a year or two ago. Yes, they are. I mean, there's people are finally moving now. The eviction moratorium has largely been lifted, except for City of L.A. and unincorporated L.A., and people can raise rents for existing tenants. And when people move in, you know, they can ask whatever rent they want. But what's happening too is more people are renting homes.
Oh, I see. Right.
So this is what's going on. I'm seeing this where, you know, someone owns a home, and instead of saying, okay, buy a bigger house. Usually you'd sell that house and buy the new house. Now what you're seeing is a lot more people saying, hey, you know, I have a great interest rate on this, a fixed rate of 3% or 4% on our home. Let's rent this out. And then, you know, get 10% down or something and get our new home.
And use the HELOC and to get the new home.
Right. And so those numbers, you're seeing rental prices for homes going up, I think, much more than even apartments. And just a lot more people renting now also, because they have been priced out in the last couple of months. People who were anticipating potentially moving into being first-time home buyers now, you know, they're on the sidelines and they're starting families or growing families, and so they need the space, so they're renting homes. And those prices I've seen go up 15, 20, 30% in the last couple of years.
Is that right? Oh, that's a lot, especially when you're starting at $4,000, you know, for a home. We owned a home in Burbank on Cordova, and we sold it to buy our new home like 6 years ago. And a buddy of mine said, why don't you hold on to that one because you can rent it out? And my answer was, well, look, she said you can rent it out. Then your daughter and your wife will have something when you move on. And my response was, well, when I move on, the party's over. It's a lot of fun while I'm around. But when I'm gone, you're on your own. An a-hole thing to say.
I remember that. It was 5 years ago.
No, I do have health. I do have life insurance, though. And the only reason I have life insurance is because so my wife doesn't have to go home with the first guy she meets at the bar. Right? She can, you know, dip her toe in and look around a little. And so I have, you know, enough life insurance where she can get by and doesn't, you know, have to, you know, get in the first guy's car that she meets at the money tree.
Yeah. And that money lands in the account within like a week or two. I mean, that's pretty. Get the death certificate. All right. Is it ready yet? Here it is. You can just scan it, email it. All right. That money's in the account.
There's always
attorneys. There's a probate. It's the simplest way.
Don't they fight all those things too?
They do, but less so the life insurance, because it's just, hey, who's your beneficiary on the life insurance policy, right? But it's not really probated through the estate. It just is direct, unless, you know, they're under duress and there's something, you know, with them signing their beneficiary statement for the life insurance. But it seems like it's the least contested.
Is that right?
Oh, that's pretty good. Property's a mess.
Yeah, property's a mess, huh? Yeah, it is the worst.
Bank accounts,
because the state, the government's always looking for their taste. You know, they're always looking for their, you know, their piece. They stick their beak in.
And they can't do that with life insurance.
That's right. All right. So let's talk about interest rates real quick, because I've only got a couple minutes. Interest rates have gone through the roof. A couple of years ago, you know, somebody said they had a 3.5, and that wasn't unusual. You know, everyone had like a 3.5 or 4%. Now 4.5% seems pretty good.
Yeah, it does. And now, you know, 5.5 isn't as bad as, you know, 6 was maybe a couple weeks ago. Things have gone down a little bit.
Oh, they have.
A little bit just in recent days. But no, I mean, you're seeing that now between 5.5 and 6.
But isn't 5.5% like still a great teaser rate for a credit card? I mean, to have your home at 5% is unbelievable after all these years.
You know, and is this the new normal? Is it going to be in between the 4s and 5s and 6s?
Forever?
Or are we... you know, stuck on thinking that 2.8 that we could have gotten a couple of years ago.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, for lending, if you're self-employed, you know, banks are not making it any easier for you. Not that it ever was easy, but it certainly is more challenging. I was speaking with a lender today, and I thought, well, geez, with all the higher interest rates, you think, you know, banks might loosen up a little bit in their lending, but
they don't.
Quite the opposite.
But have banks prepared for this, though? I mean, have they put money away for a rainy day? Because last time they didn't, and that's how the economy fell apart.
Well, that was always the argument, right? And when interest rates were low, it's like, well, why would they want to lend the money? They're just holding on. They're hoarding the money. And then now that interest rates are going up, you think, okay, they want to lend it out. And then that's not, you know, they're not any more generous on that. So
really? Well, you would think they would be at 6%, 7%.
You would think so, but that hasn't happened yet. I mean, underwriting is still excruciatingly difficult.
But they have the money, though, right? I mean, they have the money if they wanted to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, these banks are flush.
Yeah, you know, they've got the money, but they're over-conditioning so many loans where you're getting right up to signing the loan documents, and they're still like, wait, we have one more thing you got to do. Oh, no, you forgot to do this.
And add another 1% or 0.5%. That's what they try to do to me. You know, right on closing day, they say, hey, we forgot about this. And your wife had a bankruptcy, you know, 800 years ago. We got to add 1%. And I said, no, you're not adding 1%.
Well, what a lot of people are doing, because it's so expensive here in LA and Orange County, is that they're getting non-conforming loans for, you know, was it over $970,000?
Is that 970?
For non-conforming.
Wow.
Right. So those, a lot of folks are doing going with the ARMs. You know, the adjustables.
Right.
And locking something in for 7 years around, you know, 4 or 5, 4 or 7, something like that.
Right. So and then all of a sudden the 7-year period comes and goes, and then wacko.
We'll see.
Yeah, and you get hit in the knees. All right, buddy, really appreciate you coming in. Giant said, how do people get a hold of you if they want to, you know,
use... Oh, you can just go to find KeltonProperties.com.
K-E-L-T-O-N?
Yes, or, yeah, Kelton Agency. Just, or, yeah, all goes to the same site, so.
All right. Were you in business with Kevin Kelton at one point, the comedy writer?
He did offer to buy my website.
Wow, is that right?
He did, but he offered me $50 for it. It was about 10 years ago at a remote. We were working at it.
That's great. All right, Jason Sulaco, Kelton Properties, Giant Stud. We'll come back. We have we'll have an update on what's going on at Dodger Stadium with the big tribute to Vin Scully. It's Conway Show sitting in for John and Ken. It's been a cool pleasure, an awesome pleasure to do this for the last couple days. They'll be back Monday at 2 p.m. Neil Saavedra will be on tonight from 6 to 10 p.m. and tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m. We're live on KFI. The biggest stud in all of news radio, Steve Gregory. How you, bub?
Hey, pal.
How are you?
Happy Friday.
Okay. Let's not start. The Vin Scully tribute goes on in about an hour at Dodger Stadium. And, of course, Steve is here and he's not there because he's not much of a baseball or Vin Scully fan.
I love baseball. I don't like crowds.
Oh, okay.
I'm not much of a crowd person.
I see. All right. But anyway, so tonight, 6:30 at Dodger Stadium. It'll be on TV. It'll be on radio. We'll be carrying it live on 570 AM. We don't normally say to go to another station, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. It'll never happen again. He was with the Dodgers for 67 years, and the first-class organization, which is the Los Angeles Dodgers, will put together something really special tonight for Vin Scully. And you'll remember where you were and where you heard it and where you saw it. And if you're at the stadium, God bless you, man. You made the move to get to the stadium. You're one of 50,000 people that'll be there, but 50 million people would like to be there. And because we all can't, you are there. Hold on to that ticket stub if they still have ticket stubs. That'll be worth framing one point with a picture of Vinny. And your kids will always thank you and remember that you took them to that game. All right, that being said, Steve Gregory is with us, and the world's poorest pickleball player. Is that you?
No.
Have you ever played the game?
I have not.
No, I have not either. No. But Bellio comes in and talks about it all the time. I guess Eric plays this stupid game, right?
I've played it once.
Once. How was it?
It's fun. I played it as a kid at like a summer camp.
But I heard it's for tennis for people that aren't in good shape.
Yes, there's a lot less moving around. I will definitely say there's a lot less moving around. It's doubles.
Then I'll love it.
Okay. And what name did they leave on the table that they said, no, that sounds too stupid. Let's go with pickleball.
You know, I'm not sure. I got to find out who created pickleball.
No, I've already got it right here.
Oh good.
It's my segment.
Oh. Steve gets so possessive. All right. Who created this?
That other anchor we used to
who have created the stupid game?
Are we back to stupid?
Yes.
It was created by combining the elements of several other racket sports. It was invented in 1965.
Wow.
As a children's backyard game on Bainbridge Island, Washington.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And this year, pickleball was adopted as the official state sport of Washington.
So lame. What? I've never played it. I have friends who play it. A guy named Mark Verge, and every time we mention him, he gets like 40 texts. He plays it all the time with these guys, and it just looks like the dullest game ever.
Well, you know what's funny? It's either an old person's game or a rich person's game.
Yeah, I think so.
You could see some rich guys just hanging out because it's less...
Isn't it a wiffle ball?
Yeah, it's a wiffle... See, look at that. You already know. It's a wiffle ball. And it's very much like... It's got like a ping pong badminton thing going on.
What's the difference between pickleball and hell? Nothing. What's the difference between pickleball and paddle tennis?
Well... paddle tennis, or are you talking about like ping pong?
No, paddle tennis.
I don't know what paddle tennis is.
Paddle tennis is on a short court that they used to have paddle tennis tournaments, world championship paddle tennis. Crozier, you know what paddle tennis is, right? You ever play paddle tennis?
Never played it, but yeah.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, it's as if you were standing on the ping pong table, a little bigger ping pong table playing tennis.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, see, I've played badminton.
That figures.
What do you mean that figures?
He likes the shuttlecock.
It's for guys that are drinking beer and eating hot dogs at a park, and they put a net up, and they pretend like they're playing a sport. Badminton.
Well, I was really good at tetherball, too.
It is really hard to look.
Rally on Steve.
It's really hard to look masculine when you're swinging a badminton racket.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like a huge sport in Korea.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, Korea, China, and they've got like, it's like ping pong. Those people who take it very seriously over there, like we do baseball and basketball over here.
Okay, I looked up paddle tennis. It was rebranded in 2015. It's a game adapted from tennis and played over a century. Compared to tennis, the court is smaller, has no double lines, the net is lower, and paddle tennis is played with a solid paddle as opposed to a strung racket. Now, is a pickleball racket solid or is there strings on it?
It's solid. It's solid. A paddle. And so it looks like this game was invented in 65 at the home of Joel Pritchard, who eventually wound up becoming a congressman and Washington's lieutenant governor. And the word is, I guess the legend goes, the game was named after Pritchard's dog, Pickles.
No. Is that right?
Oh, come on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. You're playing a game named after a guy's dog's privates?
It says the Pritchards stated the dog came along after the game had already been named, and it was the dog that was named for the game of pickleball.
Okay, so it's not named after the dog.
It says it was derived from the name of the Pritchard's family dog, Pickles.
Well, thank God the dog's name wasn't Stains.
Oh, it says here, it says they were reminded Pritchard of the pickle boat in... What the hell does it say? It said, remind me of...
You want to come on next segment after you read?
Pickle boat in Korea.
I was thinking when you said paddle tennis, by the way, that basically is pickleball.
I was going to say, I'd like to make a correction. I've played paddle tennis, not pickleball.
Okay.
Oh, well, now all of a sudden, masculinity card comes up because we start talking about all this.
Thank God that this dog's name wasn't Stinky, right?
Stinky ball. Sticky ball.
Steve. This will be the last time we're invited to host this show.
I was saying singular.
Okay. All right.
I'm not like Gary and
Lance
Shannon.
Armstrong's
did you hear Gary and Shannon all day today?
Right now.
They were like very testicle-centric.
Okay. Right now, Robin Bertolucci, my boss, is wanting to know if John can come back and do the last segment.
Or do it from his vacation house.
Yes. She's like, John, please, can you come in and just do last 20 minutes of the show?
Well, all Please. I can tell you, I don't understand what this means. Something to do with a pickle boat in a crew where oarsmen were chosen from the leftovers of other boats.
Ew.
I have no idea what all that means.
Are they pushing for it to be an Olympic sport? People always do that.
It probably is already. I mean, skateboarding is an Olympic sport, for God's sakes.
Okay. All right. And has it been on TV or is there a TV deal?
The real reason I'm here to talk to you about all this, I guess, is because the world's largest pickleball tournament is happening, started today and runs through Sunday.
Where is it?
At the Braemar Country Club in Tarzana.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah.
In 2001, pickleball was introduced in the Arizona Senior Olympics to become, it was the largest event to be played at that point.
Yeah, because that's the Senior Olympics. It's for old people, this game.
No, high school seniors.
No, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds. It's for people.
And
that,
Sharon.
It is for
Aaron,
people.
Aaron Clay. Shut up, Steve.
Shut up, Steve.
Why are you
said.
So mean?
I don't know. She's at her end, wit's end.
Stinky.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Stinky.
All right.
Sticky.
Stained.
Stained. I'm not falling for this a third time.
All right. When can we do
that? Have we filled enough time for this segment?
I think we have. Buddy, giant stud.
Oh, I'm not being held over?
Can you hang around, Steve?
I'm not being held over.
Oh, Belly, don't grab him like that. Why are you taking him out?
What?
You're done.
Belly's never done that.
Well, I said was you're the one all into the pickleball.
You shouldn't pull his shirt like that. Belly, come on.
All I'm saying is.
All right, let's try to regroup here. This is horrible.
Is there any hard news I could do for you?
This is the worst radio ever.
I've never been kicked off a segment of the Conway Show.
Belly has never taken anybody physically out of here in her life. Something's going on with her. All right, let's everybody calm down. We'll regroup and we'll try to come back here. Don't forget, Vin Scully, That tribute goes on in 45 minutes at Dodger Stadium. Get to Dodger Stadium now, right? Slide in there somehow. We're live on KFI. It's Conway Show, sitting in for John and Ken. So let's quickly turn on Channel 7 here in Long Beach.
Many
police investigating or shooting.
In place, and the SWAT team has just been activated. A situation we're going to monitor throughout this newscast. Reporting live from Air 7 HD, I'm Chris Christie, ABC 7.
All right. Chris, ABC Channel 7 reporting a shooting in Long Beach. We'll try to get the location for you and see what's going on there in Long Beach. And, let's go back to KBC here. I'm sorry, ABC 7, and see what's going on at Dodger Stadium.
The All-Star game was here just a couple of weeks ago. You can certainly make the case. This is a
Kurt
much
Sandoval.
Hotter ticket, not because the Padres are here, because they're going to honor the late, great Vin Scully, the 67-year voice of the Dodgers, who sadly passed away on Tuesday at the age of 94. Starting tonight exactly at 6:30, Dodgers are going to have a very special tribute to Vin Scully. In fact, apparently a lot of his family will be in the owner's box. There's multiple flower memorials around the stadium, including right when you walk into Vin Scully's press box and just outside the team clubhouse. Now, manager Dave Roberts fondly remembered when he was traded from the Dodgers to the Red Sox as a player. He was fighting back tears. The trade happened when he was in San Diego, and it was Scully who came down to wish him well. It's moments like that that Roberts says it's why he's truly honored to be front and center for tonight's tribute.
The Giants did a great job as far as recognizing Vin. I thought they did a fantastic first-class job. And for us, I know that our guys have put some stuff together. So it's going to be an emotional pre-game ceremony. He's the connection, the fabric from the fans to the organization. I think that if you look at 60 years of Dodger baseball, players change, teams are different, but he was the one constant.
Star pitcher Clayton Kershaw is making another visit to the injury list. Yesterday, if you didn't see it, he had to leave the game after the fifth inning up in San Francisco. He'd only thrown 66 pitches, but he told the trainers that his back locked up on him, couldn't make another pitch. He's going to have an MRI, or had one today. They haven't had the results yet, but Robert says it's a different injury that he had earlier this year. Kershaw has spent
horrible.
Five of the last
All
seven
right,
seasons.
All right, that is the update from Dodger Stadium. It looks like, man, people are filing into that stadium. It's not going to be full at 6:30, but there'll be a lot more people than are usually out there at 6:30. A hell of a lot. And all the local news stations are out there covering this huge, huge event for Vin Scully, who passed away at Tuesday of this week. So that one of the major stories tonight, and will probably be the lead story on all the newscasts, the tribute to Vin Scully, unless something awful happens. The information coming out on the accident that happened yesterday on Slauson and La Brea, we're finding out more details about the family members and about the woman, 40-year-old woman, who was driving the Mercedes at the time of the accident, and a picture of the lovely young lady who lost a child and her unborn baby. So it's very sad. And then we also have, we had Rick Monday on earlier. So if you missed part of it, you can listen to the podcast at Conway Show. And I think it's also up on the John and Ken page as well. And then Ann Hage, right? Accident, ran into an apartment building, allegedly. Then fled the scene, ran her car into a house. That house caught on fire. And she has burns over a significant part of her body. She's expected to make it, but there's a lot of explaining. Going to be a lot of explaining to do on why, first of all, she was driving in that condition, what she hit with her car, and then why she fled before the cops got there or firemen got there and then ran into another house. So lots of things happening here, lots of things going on. We talked earlier about the San Bernardino Airport. There's not a brand new airport, but there'll be service from San Bernardino Airport. And that is going to be cool for people who live out there. All right, we wanted to sort of end with something kind of cool for Vin Scully. Vin Scully, the Kevin Costner tribute to Vin Scully during the last season ceremony. Here we go, Vin Scully.
Allow me to say one more time for the record for all of us all of us here today and for those watching, that we will miss you, my friend. We will miss you in our radio, in our cars, in our backyard. You've been a gift to Los Angeles and to baseball itself. It seems forever that you've been guiding us through your personal window into the game. How lucky we were that day in Brooklyn when the microphone passed into your hands. You were the chosen one, the skinny redhead who stood on the shoulders of the biggest kid, ready to look through the knot hole in the fence and describe for the rest of us what was going on. You were better than a golden ticket. You invited us all to pull up a chair, spend the afternoon, and then proceeded to walk us into the next century. You did it in a style so friendly and unique, so effortless, that years from now we will not be able to explain it to those who never heard it for themselves. The game will not lose its way, but it loses a perspective, a singular voice that managed to capture a boy's game played by men at the highest level. You grounded it in a way no one else ever has, trusting that you never had to make more of any one moment than it really was. We couldn't be Kirk, and we couldn't be Sandy, but somehow you found a way to put us all in the batter's box, to put us all on the mound. Even those lucky enough to have a ticket to be at the game itself held radios to their heads as if they couldn't trust what they were seeing. Some of my strongest memories of you were being in school, in the classroom, when the World Series still was being played during the day. Who can forget the teachers that we begged and then allowed us to stop our work, huddle around a single scratchy transistor radio? They may have been simpler days, but they were also the best of days. And with everything on the line, it was your voice that slowed it down. While we held our breath, you filled in the blanks. And when we couldn't bear to watch or could no longer sit in front of our TVs because the pressure was just too great, you were at your very best. When we were lost for words, you were Norman Rockwell, painting the clearest of pictures, describing some of baseball's greatest moments as if they were nothing more than a familiar bedtime story. For 67 years, you managed to fool us into believing that you were just a sports announcer, when in fact you were really a poet, a wordsmith. It was a nice trick. And after almost seven decades, you might have thought that we would have caught on. But now the masquerade is over and the jig is up. We're all taking deep breaths, Vin. We're all struggling with our own emotions as we admit that we're down to our last three outs with you. Thanks for always giving it to us straight, the inning and the score.
Yeah. All right. That is the tribute to Vin Scully from Kevin Costner. Very, very moving. That was on his last day at the stadium, but it's almost even more appropriate now listening to him saying goodbye to Vin Scully. Neil Saavedra is coming in. You'll be in from 6 to 10 p.m. and then right back tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m. Don't know how you do it.
You do 4 hours every day. I got to come in today on a Friday.
That's right.
You know, which is like play day.
Right.
And then I'm going to talk about food tomorrow.
That is correct.
So it's not really the heavy lifting that you're right. purporting.
Sir. What's on the big show tonight?
We got a lot of good stuff. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit, start out a little bit newsy, talking about the crash from yesterday in Windsor Hill.
Oh, horrible.
Insane.
Yeah.
I know that area very well.
I do, too.
And it's just like...
Every time I went to, the Forum or anytime you go to, SoFi, you always go right through that area.
Yeah. You've walked through that very intersection.
Yeah.
Kind of a brisk walk, but I walked through it.
I am. Here's how I know that Steve Gregory and I are truly related somehow. We both knew that the greatest Wiener Schnitzel is right next to that gas station.
Oh,
and I used to go there on the way to the
what
forum.
What makes it so great? I know it.
It's for some reason they put more love into their dogs or burgers or chili or whatever. Man, it's sensational.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's a hot tip.
So I've been there for many, many times.
So we'll start with that, but we've got a lot of other stuff going on. Of course, Dr. Terry Simpson is joining me tonight. He's a surgeon, world-renowned surgeon.
Wow.
Does gastric bypass, things like that. But the thing that I love about him is he has studied culinary medicine. So he understands how food reacts to the body. Cool. And he's going to put to bed some myths and tell you about some insane medicine that actually is real, that will make you lose weight. Absolutely real. It's not some, you know, snake medicine or snake oil.
I've read that about it. It's called vodka and cigarettes.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it, with a ice cream back. And then Josh Fries, a world-renowned percussionist, plays with Sting, with the Vandals, with Devo. He's a drummer for Devo. He's coming on, going to hang out with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Alex Michelson, of course, going to come on at 7:30. We got...
That's sensational, man.
Yeah. And then from, I think, 6:30 to 7, we're just going to go dark.
Oh, for Vinny.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're sending everybody over there, and I'm like, he doesn't understand. I was going to be home talking to myself tonight anyways. Tonight I get paid for it.
That's
so great. It doesn't matter whether they're here or not.
That's great. But we never normally do that, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
It's Vin Scully.
Yeah, Vin Scully.
I'm an East Sider.
You know what?
It's packed over there right now.
If there was enough time to arrange it, I think every station should have carried that live in L.A.
I think it's that important to the Southland, absolutely.
I really do. And I'm sure his funeral is going to be on live on every single station.
It'll be insane. It'll look like Reagan's funeral.
Buddy, I know you hate this. I'm going to say it to you.
Please.
And keep saying it because it's true. If it wasn't for you, I would not be at the station.
Why would you think I hate that? I love that.
Okay, good.
I also came up with Ding Dong.
Ding Dong.
I introduced you
to
your wife.
Ding Dong.
I said, you know what? Maybe it's time you kids have a kid.
That's right.
There wouldn't be any Sophie. There wouldn't be nothing.
It's true. If it wasn't for Neil, we'd never hear this.
Ding Dong.
Ding Dong.
Yeah. I created your persona.
I know. You always make a joke out of it. It's totally true. If it weren't for you, I'd not be sitting in this chair and wouldn't be at the station.
Probably
totally true.
Not.
100%.
That's the reality.
Buddy, giant stud. I'll be listening on the way home. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Neil Safandra filling in from 6 to 10 p.m. and on again tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m. And then don't forget, Monday, John and Ken return hotter than hell, like they always do after vacation. Really pissed. You got to listen to that. We're live on KFI AM 640.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average. Plus, it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.